From historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special Wednesday edition. It's pre-Thanksgiving edition to the Geek News Central podcast. I'm Todd Cochran, your host, and we welcome you aboard for today's show. And I have just got a tremendous amount of information to go over. Last night I was been out with the family, did a couple of things, and we got back here. And by the time I got homework checked and got the kids in bed and dealt with the baby and a few other things, I got upstairs. Oh, I don't know, about 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night to do some postings to the weblog. And I got to thinking, man, it's so much easier to do the podcast and talk about all the things I want to write. It'd be nice to be able to do a daily podcast and cover all the links that I normally cover when I write, because I'll be honest with you, I sat down here about 10 and I was exhausted. And those of you out there that fell asleep at your keyboard, I want you to raise your hands. But it was kind of comical because I was on this train of thought of some things I wanted to write, and I looked down, and you know, I was actually kind of dreaming and typing at the same time, and it was just totally. I was like a blathering idiot on the keyboard, so I just closed the browser and went to bed. And sometimes you just have to do that. Usually nights when I'm wiped out like that, and I put a bunch of posts up, I get a lot of feedback on the site saying, "What in the world were you doing? This doesn't make sense." But anyway. Please visit the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, send your comments about the show to geek@geeknewscentral.com. We got an overwhelming number of voicemails. I'm not going to play them tonight. I'll get them queued up for another show because I know I just have too much information to go over. But we want you to keep on calling in. I still have about a dozen Gmail accounts to give away. I've already sent... about 20 to 25 of you a Gmail invite, and I see most of you have picked up on that. There are a few people that that I have some issues with trying to find your, you know, that you gave me a domain and a not a complete spelling on your voicemail. So if you have not gotten a Gmail invite, call the voicemail back again and say, hey, here's my email address and the correct spelling, so that we don't send that off into the bit bucket. But I've been talking to a number of you on Skype. I did a discussion tonight with a gentleman out of Florida who has the iPodio website, and I'm going to put a link up to his show. He's got some great short tech shows, not necessarily tech shows, but they're things that really make you think. And him and I were talking about bandwidth tonight, and I did some calculations on what the bandwidth was that we run on the last show, and it folks is getting crazy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step out on a limb here. If any of you have a product that you want to promote, and or a site that you want to promote that is not podcasters get free air. That's what's going to stay in place. But any of you that have a commercial website or a weblog that you want to have a full plug, where you can do a full plug on the voicemail, we're gonna charge you for that. And I haven't quite decided how I'm gonna work it. But if you got a commercial product or a commercial website, let's say $20 for a plug, and we'll run it. For a couple of shows, you're going to get some significant exposure to geeks out there and drive some traffic to your site. And for those of you got a weblog, yeah, we're still going to do that for free. You know, we're not, the guys that aren't making any money out there like me, are not. We're not going to ask you to pony up any cash. But those of you that have a commercial product or a commercial website, hey, we'll take the money. We need it. We're going to need it for bandwidth, bandwidth cost. I've got too many admin things tonight here to talk about, but before we get into the meat of the show, but I do want to make a clarification on the. I made a comment on the last show about the 2004 weblogs. I want to clarify that I want you guys to go to that site and nominate us so that we may have a chance and be in the running for having a top technology weblog. We have not been nominated, but we would like to be nominated, and the only way to do that is for you guys to go to the 2004weblogs.com website, go down to the technology best blog, leave a comment about the site and a link to us, and that'll help us out. Another thing that we want to do, and we want to put a challenge out there, I'm sure many of you listen to the Don and Drew show, and obviously it is not a tech show. It's absolutely hilarious what those two get into, but they have put out a challenge to, they want to stay number one on the podcastalley.com website. So I know what our numbers are, and if every one of you go to www.podcastalley.com, and we are in the top 10 list right now. I think we're 4 or 5, but we would like you to go out to the site and vote for us. I'm watching, we're not losing part of the program tonight because I'm watching the program that is doing my audio capture, and I'm not seeing a steady stream, so I'm going to pause here for a second and check things. Yeah, it looks like it's running okay, so we haven't lost it. But anyway, go to podcastalley.com, put a plug in for us, rank the site, and leave a comment. You know, they've got like 133 votes, and I think right now we've only have like 22 inputs, so it's going to take a significant effort from all you guys that are listening to the show. Go over there, hit us on that, and let's see if we can drive Don and Drew out of the number one spot and give a little challenge here. I picked up a I've been wanting to do some telephone interviews. I've got a couple of guys lined up. The product that I picked up at Radio Shack was just ridiculous. The quality was terrible. We decided not to do it. It just didn't sound good. So I went out to JK Audio and picked up it's a relatively expensive device that's going to allow me to equalize the phone volumes on the conversations, and we'll get a good recording on those interviews. But I know a number of you are looking for something like that. So we're going to put the link up on that JK Audio device tonight, and we will, and if you can afford it, go out there and get it. If not, hey, ask for some donations. It looks like the product's going to be well worth it. As many of you know, I bought a piano, a digital piano here a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I guess. And I bought all the interface cables so I could plug MIDI in, MIDI out on it. I've got a laptop downstairs that I use for a multimedia device. It's got a USB port on it. It's run a little older version of Windows, but it recognizes USB. And I can't figure out how to get that piano to play MIDIs from the computer. So if any of you have got a clue on that, I've got some experience, hey, I'll call you on my dime, and maybe you can walk me through it. But I need some help there. If any of you got experience doing that, give us a shout out. But I think that is what I have on just the admin side of the house and some quick announcements, except for I know there's been some non-technical news about the Marines in Fallujah, and for the Devil Dogs that are over there, all I can say is that job well done, guys. I know war is tough, and sometimes spur-of-the-moment decisions may not work out the way you want them to, and get some negative press, but until people walk in your shoes and go over there and fight this great battle that needs to be fought, I don't think they have any right to criticize. Well, they do have a right to criticize, but we have to temper what we say until everything's done. But for the Marines out there. Keep up the good work, guys, and I'm definitely damn proud. Let's see here on the lineup tonight of stuff, and I have just a whole bunch. I kind of got a shocker today when I was reading it was on Yahoo News. Actually, they picked it up from PC World. It's an article about, and the title of it's Government Uses Color Laser Printer Technology to Track Documents. And at my work, we use a color laser printer. And it says basically that they are able, by shining an LED flashlight beam on it and examine it closely with a magnifying glass, you might be able to see some dots on the document used to trace the document back to you. Now, honestly, I don't have nothing to hide, but I think this is pretty significant news in that it's almost like a license plate saying, hey, this document came from this printer. You know, it goes to prove proves to you that whistleblowers and stuff that print documents on maybe a work computer aren't necessarily safe. Took a little shot of iced tea there. Let's see if I can bring this next article. I have this thing so loaded up tonight with articles. It's taken forever for it to load. And I've switched my aggregator primarily to FeedDemon. And I load them up in browser tabs in order to try to make the show go smoother. But Wired has an article out yesterday that talks about file sharing. It continues to grow like a weed. And I kind of had to laugh because they actually did a little clever byline in there that they're actually talking about Weed, which is a software program that allows interested music fans to download a song and play it three times for free. This is pretty cool, but I'm sure that those that are out there probably trying to figure a way to capture that download and have it so that they don't have that restriction on playing it three times. But it's a pretty good article about a new type of technology that's out there. It's being used to kind of try to legally get file sharing, get music file sharing so that people can get interested in a song and say, hey, maybe I want to buy this or not. Go out to iTunes or one of the online websites and buy it. I know a lot of people have been asking about podcasting and how podcasting is done. And I found a pretty good article that talks about some of the things that are people are doing out there and talks about enclosures. I think it's a well-worthy article to read, and I just put that up. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because there's a lot of other people that are doing podcasting tutorial podcasts. For those of you that are into dynamic HTML, there's a Microsoft blogger that puts up a link to some of his best reference sites and sites that have information about dynamic HTML. It's a subject that I really am interested in and spend some time reading on. So if that's your bag, hey, we got a link up for you today. Now, a lot of people are saying, okay, podcasting, boo-hoo. I went over to live365.com because I was kind of looking for some alternative ways to distribute the show. And I went into their message forums there and into the actual talk radio section and posted a comment, you know, to general question, asking it to some people. And, boy, I had a hostile, very hostile, not necessarily, yeah, it was a hostile reply, saying I was spamming the message board and blah, blah, blah. And I sent the guy a pretty detailed response saying, like, listen, I'm just looking for information, wondered how you guys like the service, is it well worthy for what we're doing, will it help build our listenership, and haven't seen any feedback on that. But any of you that are out there and using live365.com, let me know. It looks like maybe an alternative for us to get our podcast distributed a little more widely. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, why do we need this podcast thing in the first place? Shouldn't just streaming audio off a computer be fine? Well, there's a article, not an article, but a comment by Russell Beatty over at russellbeatty.com. It talks about, and he shows a map on the page, talks about his commute going from San Francisco down into Mountain View. And any of you that have had to drive the 101 or any of that area in there, especially during the rush hour, knows that it's just that this is a hellacious commute. It's no fun. I used to go down to San Jose a lot and work with a company down there, and I would stay as close as possible in a hotel to the place I was going to work, just because I didn't want to deal with the traffic down there. So it just goes to show you that traffic jams and congestion in California is live and well, and these guys that are spending the time in their car listening to the radio can listen to podcasts. So, Russell, if you're listening to us, hey, send us some feedback. John Udell, a well-known columnist at InfoWorld, started podcasting, and he's got a pretty good couple of shows up. But he doesn't have the show in the RSS 2.0 enclosure that has supports the basically the required elements to have iPodder pick this up. But I'm going to put the link up to his site. Great shows on there. Pick that up and check his podcast out. There's a article on, it's on AP, and let me see what it has to say here. Talks about a lobbyist group in Philly that is trying to squash the Wi-Fi plan that Philadelphia has, they're trying to put forth. And basically, they're trying to put Wi-Fi downtown, make it inexpensive as a municipal service. Now, my own experience with municipal ISPs is actually pretty good. My mom and dad live in southern Michigan. They live in a rural area, and the closest and one of the better ISPs in the area is actually put together by the Commerce Department there in the town of Coldwater, Michigan. And they've got a great a broadband service for people that live in town. They're on cable. And for those that are out in the country, they've got a dial-up service that connects right up at 56K or 52K. And what's amazing about it is it's only like $8 a month. And for a rural ISP charging to get full service, she stays on for hours on end, $8 a month, great deal. Now, I'm just hoping at some point that they improve the infrastructure out near where they live so they get ADSL so that she can get a little higher speed connection. But what these lobbyists are doing in Philadelphia just pisses me off, because, these telecommunication companies are worried that the local municipalities are going to put them out of business. Well, compete. They need to compete. Go out there and compete with the municipality. And I hope that Philadelphia gets their wireless plan off the ground, installed, and they do well with it, and makes some of these other companies wake up and smell the roses, saying, hey, we got to do business smarter. More power to them. Now, I know that the ISPs out there are going to say, they've got an unfair advantage, et cetera, but more power to them. There is an article on Design Technica that talks about a all-digital music label is going to be debuted. And they are going to, and they're pretty major, appears to be a major label. I'm not familiar with them, but the article says they are. But all of their artist music is going to be released via digitally. They're not going to produce anything on CDs. Now, it looks like they have artists like Elton John and the Desert Rose Band and Hellcasters. Is it REM that's in the list? So it looks like some significant players in the music business, including Shania Twain and Amy Grant. So yeah, looks like it's going to be interesting to see all of their releases now on digitally released. But I also wonder how many of the artists will leave the label because of that. Now, if getting a cancer with your cell phone next to your ear is not a big enough worry, there's some articles on the blogosphere today that talks about cell phones are blowing up. Now, as a guy that has worked in electronics for 22 years, I know at times batteries will overheat, you get thermal runaway, and bad things happen, folks. You know, aircraft batteries, if they get into a thermal runaway condition, can explode to the point where it blows the side off an aircraft, you know, or blow a hole in an airplane. So the aircraft batteries that are being made today are, you know, are considerably better than they were 22 years ago, and you don't see that rarely. But what you're seeing now is a lot of knockoff batteries being built for cell phones by third parties that probably are fly-by-night businesses, and they're probably being made in a sweatshop overseas. So be very careful in the batteries that you buy, and read the article and see if you have a phone that's been running into some issues. I hope you don't, but if you do, and also if you're using your cell phone and you're holding it and you're feeling that battery case getting hot, you know, give it a break. Disconnect and check it out, especially if the cell phone is older and the battery's old. You never know what's going to happen there. I have to apologize for the big breaks in the audio here tonight. I've got dry mouth big time, and I'm having to keep chug-a-lugging some iced tea here to keep the old whistle wet. Now, Engadget has a great article on, he's calling it broad catching, and it's using RSS and BitTorrent to automatically download TV shows. They are not real happy with TiVo's announcement to possibly start putting banner ads in place of commercials. So they've went out and basically did the double middle finger to TiVo, and they put a tutorial up on using a BitTorrent client called Osiris and some tools that you can use with your computer. You know, if you've got one of those multimedia computers or even a standard computer on your desk, how to go up there and score television shows for your computer. Now, there are some copyright issues, and we know that the MPAA is going after people just like the RIAA is. So you're going to want to be real careful going out there and sucking down content that is, has a copyright, because you could have the copyright police of those two organizations after you. But it is a great tutorial, and of course we're going to put the link up to you for it. We're going to talk about, here in a little bit, we're going to talk about the MPAA, and they had a little court loss here today, courtesy of the EFF, but we'll get into that in a second. There is a terrific article on eWeek that came out today. It talks about spyware letting some of the cracks and hacks and Trojans through their net. Basically, they're slipping through their what they put up, and they have a significant number of links to some studies. And I looked at one of the studies, and I have to click over here to where this was at, and it is just amazing what this guy did. He's a college student, and he did a whole bunch of tests for about 15 days. He's got it all published. He doesn't make a judgment on the different applications. I'll let you guys go through and decipher this, but I spent a good 45 minutes looking at this information, and I feel pretty confident that the spyware program I'm using is a pretty decent one, but there's a couple other ones out there that did a little better in their test that I may have to go look at. But if you don't look at any article tonight, you need to look at this one. It's the one from eWeek and the associated spyware study that is at spywarewarrior.com, and again, I'll have that link up on the website. Now I got to go back and get us on track where we're at. Okay, I'm not a gamer, So I know some of you are, but I know a lot of gamers are probably running stuff that they have not paid for. But game developer Valve has revealed it has banned 20,000 accounts from its Steam online gaming service. That's significant. They're saying that the banned accounts are accused of using either pirated or cracked copies of Half-Life 2. Now, I'm not real familiar with what even Half-Life 2 is, but for them to ban 20 people based upon an investigation they did just goes to show that these companies are fighting back. Now, I got to the link on the MPAA court loss, and this is a great, great victory. And basically, the title of the document says, Court blocks movie studios' bulldozer legal strategy. And they were trying to file, you know, these 11 or 12 cases underneath John Doe, all under one, under one legal issuing or what? Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But anyway, what they're going to do is they're going to make the MPAA do as the RIAA has to do. And they are going to, instead of suing a group of people, they're going to have to go after individuals and fight each case individually. And that's good news. That'll slow them down. That'll make them pay the extra filing fees, of course, which is probably going to go back on the ones they're suing if they determine that they've done something they're not supposed to. But basically, the EFF has issued a statement saying, this decision helps to give due process rights to internet users accused of infringement, said EFF staff attorney Wendy Seltzer. Lumping them together makes it more difficult for everyone to defend against these claims. EFF is also concerned about the movie studio's failure to produce evidence of infringement against even Doe Number One in this case. Looks like Kazaa has signed an ink to deal with Skype. So the next release or the latest version of file sharing software Kazaa will let users make free phone calls any of the world via, they're basically putting the Skype interface into Kazaa. So any of you that are using Kazaa, you're going to be able to make phone calls from within that application. I don't know why people just don't download Skype. It's kind of ironic that they did that, but I guess Kazaa's trying to snare some more users in their P2P efforts. There's another article on the Register that talks about the EFF. And there's been some people that have been highly critical of the EFF and others that are absolutely standing behind them. But I think it's a very provocative article. EFF gives three or four different points of view. And one that actually surprises me about the appointment of Jim Griffin to the EFF board. But you need to check this out. It's a good read. And I donate to the EFF every year, and I think it's a good organization to donate to. It's the tech geek's way of being able to protect our rights out there, seeing that no one else is. I know a lot of you use MySQL. There's a great article on SitePoint about, basically there's an interview of Zach Urlacher, and it goes into talking about MySQL and what's planned for MySQL in the future. And from the read of the article, it's probably take you about 10 minutes to get through. A lot of things are going to be happening in that front. Now, I predicted this a long time ago, and I'm sure I'm about one of millions of people that have predicted it, but they are projecting that VHS is on its way out. You know, the cassette tape died, Betamax died, all these older medias are going away, and it looks to me like VHS is finally starting to disappear. So what I've started doing here at the home, and I tell you, I honestly have probably 100 videotapes that either they got stuff that we recorded from the kids or events that we went to, stuff that I want to keep. You know, you go through this stuff and you think, well, why did I record that 10 years ago? And you look at it, and it doesn't mean a lot to maybe myself personally, but I got to thinking, well, it'll be cool for the kids to watch, because I enjoyed when I was a youngster watching the movie reels from Mom and Dad that they'd taped when I was a kid. So I'm taking all my VHSs, and one by one, I'm converting them to DVD, and I'm doing that on the PC here at the house. And, you know, that is not a quick process. You know, you've got to load, you get the DVD up, or VHS loaded, you get your encoder all set up on, and I use a Pinnacle Studio, get that all set up, get everything wired up, ready to go, plus press play on the VHS, start recording on the computer, get it all downloaded in the computer, then you got to go through, and if you want to do any editing, putting in subtitles, etc., get that all done, then compress it and get it ready to go on the DVD. And you probably have total time there, depending on the length of the VHS and the compression and how fast your computer is, 4 or 5 hours of work to do one video. Now, you don't have to sit in front of the damn thing the entire time. You know, some of that stuff, you just let it run and it goes by itself. But 100 tapes times 5 hours, yeah, it's going to be a few years before I get it all done. Let's see here. We're already 30 minutes in the program. I got to hurry up and get this wrapped up tonight. But on a good news front, it's definitely not a tech news item. Dan Rather's leaving CBS in March. I want to get up and dance a jig. I'm so glad to see this guy go. He is one of the most biased news reporters out there, and it's nice to see him get put to pasture, as you would say. Now, if any of you guys are looking for a geek chick to idolize, there's a calendar coming out, and it doesn't. I got this link from Chris Perillo, and doesn't show who the geek chicks are, who what affiliation they have, but apparently there's a calendar coming out with pictures of geek women on it. I just wonder who they found for this. I hope they found some true geeks and not just some models that supposedly said they were geeks. I'm not going to order one. If anybody does, let me know. But I thought that would be comical anyway. Now, there's rumor today that Apple is going to be releasing what they call the Asteroid. And it's going to be a breakout box designed to work seamlessly with GarageBand. And they're saying it's going to be $130. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I wonder if this thing will be designed to work with a PC. So check that article out. It might be kind of cool for you audio buffs, for something that you may want to add to your tech arsenal. Now, I travel to Japan a lot, and being my wife's Japanese, I had to show her this article tonight, and it turns out that the equivalent of the RIAA, which is called the JSRAC, is going after clubs and stuff that have live bands that are playing cover songs of groups, you know, basically. We've all been to a concert where we've heard a band play Freebird, or, you know, any type of music that's on that's been released by other artists. You know, they just replay it. They're giving this guy one of the clubs who is getting charged like 28,000 yen a month since 1997, which turns out to like 2.3 million yen. So like 28,000 yen is like $280. So 2.3 million, you basically take 2.3 million, take two zeros off there, and that's what you get for the dollar amount this guy's getting charged for having bands in his club playing cover songs. And he asked them, how many cover songs did that account for? And they said, oh, we don't know. We're just going to charge you a flat fee. So folks, the copyright police are alive and well in other countries. So this is pretty significant for Japanese crackdown. but could mean for significant changes in the entertainment industry in Japan. Let's see here. I think I have covered everything for tonight. Let me go through and double check all my links. And I have. I've got everything up. We're 35 minutes into the program. And I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. And be safe on your drive to wherever you may be going. And I hope that you're listening to the podcast as you're rolling down the highway today. And if your wife is in the car, I hope she hasn't been drove totally insane by the show. Speaking of female listeners, we want to hear from you. We want to know if any of you are out there. And we definitely want us to call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Drop your comments on the show. I am pleased by the reports back that everyone's real happy with the sound quality now. And I think we've got this thing wired here on how we want to do that. But again, we want you to go to podcastalley.com. We want you to go down to the Geek News Central podcast link. We want you to vote. Vote. Give us a ranking so that we can kick Don and Drew off the number one spot. That's going to take, by my calculations, about 1/10 of you that are listening to the show, or maybe even 1/5 of you that are listening to the show, to go do that. And send me comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com. And also, if you think we're worthy, go to 2004weblogs.com. Go down to the best technical blog list. Click on that comment list. Put us in there. And again, if you have a commercial product or a commercial weblog and you want to plug it, we'll do it for $20. Send it to me. Let's keep it under 90 seconds. And you and I, or whoever you are that want to do this, we'll work out the details on how many shows it's going to be. I'm going to need some sponsor, folks, be honest with you. The bandwidth bill is increasing. If this thing continues to scale the way I think it's going to scale, in about 60 days, I'm going to need another server. So, and the servers aren't cheap. So we appreciate any support. And if you feel like supporting us with a donation, that's fine too. But I'm not going to be out there begging for that. That's for damn sure. I'm Todd, and from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I will say this. From my house, I can see the USS Missouri, which is a very famous battleship. For any of you that come to Hawaii, that has to be on your visit. Do it the same day you're hitting Arizona, and jump the bus that comes onto Ford Island and tour the USS Missouri. It's an absolutely wonderful tour, one of the top, I would say, top five tours in Hawaii that you can't miss. If any of you are coming to Hawaii, let me know, because we'll hook up and we'll have lunch. And we'll get you on the show. We'll do an interview. But I'm going to leave you with a little music tonight. Let me look and see what I've got queued up. I have Already Gone by Spear. It's available on GarageBand.com. Everyone, have a great Thanksgiving. And we will be, you'll be hearing from us Monday, if not sooner. Take care.
Say, that's a leaving.
You mean you're not gone? You're still here. All right, everybody. Have a good one. And good night.